Yeah, I'd like a hot dog all the way, please.
Coming up. Here you go.
Thank you. Ew. What is this?
That's a corn-based hot dog-flavored tube-shaped thing. It's almost good. That'll be $4.50.
You know what? No thanks.
If almost good enough isn't good enough for you, why would it be good enough for your pet? Add Kennel Kelp to your furry friend's diet. Sprinkled on your pet's food, Kennel Kelp helps with arthritis pain and stiff joints. It can also reduce shedding, fill in missing areas, and improve their looks. Healthy pets show even more energy and have better attitudes. See results in 4 to 8 weeks. The good news is, Kennel Kelp isn't just for pets. It's good for you, too. Sprinkle it on your cereal, or use it instead of table salt when seasoning your food. Kennel Kelp is the holistic care solution for pets and their people. Safe for dogs, cats, birds, cows, chickens, reptiles, almost anything that walks, flies, or slithers. It's a holistic health solution for humans, too. To learn about their many products, visit KennelKelp.com. Get Kennel Kelp for a happier, healthier life.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the BHCL's Kennel Kelp Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Welcome, one and all. Some of you via invitation where applicable, my two church mice, Peter and Paul. Ubiquitous audience, one and all, we're here daily, now in our sixth year, each and every day, 7 days a week, 365. Three audio show offerings each and every day, and this also is overviewed by a YouTube video, which I just did pertinent to this show. We'll be here for about 50 minutes plus today, so I'm going to take a deep calming breath, and in 10 seconds we'll come back. We'll start to go in the prelude show of appearance number 7 upcoming with guest host Byron Athene. Leap year, the 29th, the time of taping. Let's take that deep calming breath, and when we come back, we'll start in taking a look at Byron Athene, B.F. Skinner, and many topics at hand for today's show outlined in the description. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us. Continue to pay it forward. Okay, everyone, welcome back, and let's jump right to it. This will be the prelude show for soon-to-be 7th appearance by Byron Athene. At time of taping, it'll actually be leap year evening at time of taping. And looking forward, it'll be Byron's second appearance this calendar year and his 7th overall. So what I thought I would do for wherever you're all coming in, where you've had, some of you, the opportunity to be with us for all of those said 6 episodes, and if you're brand new, somewhere in between, you only heard the first 2, what have you, please do check out the archives. And for everyone's sake, I think I'll do a quick overview about Byron's particulars. Once again, revisiting ByronAthene.com at his website. When you get there to do so, going directly to his About Us page and reading it verbatim here again for everyone's edification, wherever your degree of familiarity is with Byron at this juncture. So from his About Me page, verbatim, general perspective, I have an unshakable belief in the unlimited capacity for people's ability to heal and improve. This informs my practice as a psychotherapist, life coach, and trainer. I developed a revolutionary new approach that seamlessly integrates ancient philosophy and cutting-edge psychology. I'm a pluralistic practitioner. This means I can use my own approach or a variety of other approaches to assist you on your journey. As a therapist, I will work with you towards restoration and promote psychological well-being and growth. As a life coach, I will facilitate the transformation from the current you to the ideal you. You aspire to be. In both cases, this means helping you to assess or access the necessary inner resources to experience a greater sense of free will and a higher sense of achievement and fulfillment. Career, I developed a stutter as a child that formed a core part of my personality. I became interested in philosophy and psychology in 1991 and became an avid reader of books in those fields. I thought about becoming a therapist, but felt my speech would be too much of an impediment, so pursued office jobs and worked for a local authority for over two decades. I stumbled across the growth mindset idea by discovering my own, but realized I still maintained a fixed mindset about my career and my speech. I reconsidered training as a therapist and coach when I no longer saw my stutter as an obstacle. I'm now a counseling psychotherapist, certified mindset coach, trainer, clinical supervisor, and author. I also received the CREA CREA Global Award of Brains Magazine in 2021. Personal interest? I've had an interest in reading and writing since I was in secondary school. I've several fictional novels, several short stories, and a screenplay and a nonfiction book that explains the theoretical approach I developed. I'm a fan of film, and I'm guilty of occasionally binge-watching the odd box set. Qualifications, level 5 professional diploma in psychotherapeutic counseling, level 6 advanced certificate in clinical supervision, including online and telephone working, level 4 diploma in rational emotive behavior therapy, level 4 advanced diploma in psychotherapeutic counseling, level 4 diploma in counseling skills and theory, level 2 practitioner of applied emotional freedom technique EFT tapping, certificate in dialectic behavior therapy, certificate in hypnotherapy and counseling, certificate in end-of-life care, certified mindset coach, certified NLP coach practitioner, professional bodies, registered member of the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy, accredited member of the National Counseling Society, registrant member of the National Hypnotherapy Society, member of the International Coaching Federation. Let's take a deep calming breath. It's important to expand upon his credentials to play to what I want to outline here. Thanks for your patience. We'll take that deep calming breath, and when I come back, I also want to outline that CREA award. It's pretty prestigious, and I want to dig a little deeper to give him what he deserves and what he earned. So in 10 seconds, we'll come back and break down the CREA award a little bit deeper, and then we're going to break into B.F. Skinner, whom Byron did indeed talk about in B.F. Skinner and Behaviorism in the Skinner box the last time around, and I thought that would be a good idea, perhaps, for fodder for our next show to talk about B.F. Skinner and operant behavior, and I already threw that out to Byron, and we have a few weeks for him to digest it and see if that's where he wants to go. So let's take the 10-second break. We'll get in a little bit deeper about the CREA Award, CREA, and Brains Magazine, and then we'll take another 10-second break, and when we come back at that juncture, it'll be the last segment of today's show, and we should be able to wrap it all up in about 45 minutes. We'll be right back. Okay, deep calming breath. Welcome back. Thanks for doing so. Let's jump right in here. So the CREA Global Awards from the BrainsMagazine.com, and Brains in this instance is spelled BrainzMagazine.com. And this is about the CREA Global Awards back in 2021 when it was presented to Byron Athene. Verbatim from that aforementioned website. Counseling psychotherapist certified mindset coach, this award is proudly presented to the honoree by the Brains Magazine Selection Committee in recognition for their creative and innovative ideas, adaptability in business, or for their contributions to sustainability and mental health projects. Byron Athene, after fully immersing himself into the fields of philosophy and psychology for 30 years, Byron Athene is truly an innovative force. His generative mindset and emotions mastery packages vastly extend the boundaries of conventional thinking. He encourages clients to change their current perspective. This often results in them immediately tapping into the infinite source of creativity and power of the mind, and this will have significant emotional, psychological, and behavioral benefits. There's an icon to click to his website, and the highlights from the fellow recipients back in 2021. Pretty prestigious award. Marissa Peer, Robin Sharmer, Oprah Winfrey, Ed Milet, and Jamie Adamich, just to mention a few. And the list you can find for yourself is quite extensive. He's in good company, deservedly so, and I felt it important to mention that credential as well as overall background. And again, you can check all of this out at brainsmagazine.com, pertinent to the award, and go to Byron's website at byronathene.com. Let's take that deep, calming 10-second break. We'll come back and we'll talk about B.F. Skinner and operant behavior and some potentiality of the fodder that we'll talk about when Byron joins me in studio for visit number 7 on the 29th on a special day, leap year. We'll be right back for the final segment right after this 10-second break. Thanks for joining us. Okay, deep calming breath. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for doing so. Byron Athene, soon to be 7-time guest here on the show. As I said before the break, over those 6 previous shows, Byron did allude and talk about B.F. Skinner in one of the archival shows. So I want to take a look at behaviorism overall. Welcome back to the BH Sales Couple Holistic Healing Hour. Today, still hosted by me, Grandpa Bill, your trusty guide through the fascinating world of human and animal wellness. And as we embark on an exploration of Skinner, and particularly when Byron joins me in studio. And if Byron decides to go with the operant conditioning, the idea that behavior is strengthened or weakened based on its consequences, going to get Byron's professional slant on that. And I think he's going to share with us how it encompassed within his own training. So, of course, Skinner created the Skinner Box, which Byron did talk about when he was here in one of the episodes, and it's often been used as a chamber where animals, mostly pigeons, could perform actions like pecking at a lever, and then the rat in the maze, if you will, with lab rats or what have you, to receive rewards like food pellets. And then by controlling the consequences, Skinner observed how their behavior changed along the way. So operant conditioning in and of itself, positive reinforcement, rewarding a desired behavior to increase its likelihood, praising your dog for calmly sitting, if you will, if we want to use an animal example in the animal training, or negative reinforcing meant, if you will, removing an unpleasant stimulus to increase a desired behavior, taking off your dog's leash when they start pulling you while you're walking them, for an example, in the animal kingdom of positive negative reinforcement. Punishment, delivering an unpleasant stimulus to decrease an unwanted behavior using a gentle no. Let's stay with a dog as an example. When, I don't know, your dog's too excited when you have company and he or she's jumping in their lap or jumping up on them. Not necessarily in a threatening way. You're disciplining them. Punishment, you know, is the term in the clinical sense too. You're not literally physically punishing. And then extinction, withholding reinforcement for an unwanted behavior, leading to its gradual decrease, or just ignoring your dog's whining until they calm down, if you will. So positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement, punishment, and extinction. Again, we'll have the clinician, Byron, expand upon any and all of those when he gets here to do so. So I think we'll all find it's just the tip of the iceberg. Going into psychotherapy in and of itself as a subject, and Skinner as an example. So taking a look at it as a guide to understanding ourselves and others through the lenses of a fascinating figure, B.F. Skinner, if you will. We all do things for a reason, but what shapes our choices and actions? That's where the behaviorism enters the equation, the picture, the scenario. It's actually the study of observable behavior and how it's influenced by its own consequences. Think of it as understanding why we do what we do and how our past experiences might color our future behavior, or predicted, or whatever adjective you want. Then I always like to refresh everybody's point of reference on the World Wide Web. Obviously, in Wikipedia, you can find out a lot of autobiographical information about the American psychologist B.F. Skinner, who didn't just observe, he revolutionized the understanding of behavior and his operant conditioning theory. That's what I would love to have Byron expand upon when he gets here to do so. So in a nutshell, it says our actions are strengthened or weakened depending on what happens afterwards. So y'all know how I'm a frustrated comic and like to attempt to interject levity here and there, crack a joke. I'm not sure if I'm a rip-roaring stand-up comic, but anyhow, when you crack a joke and everyone laughs, you feel good, so you're more likely to tell another joke in the future. So that's why you guys don't laugh at my jokes. I'm goofing around a little bit. That would be a positive reinforcement in action. So as long as you don't tell a bad joke or choke out while you're on stage, I'm goofing around a little bit. Stand-up comic. Which I'm not. And I'm just using that as an example. Probably less likely to repeat it. That's extinction. My crazy example. So when Byron gets here to remind us of the Skinner box, the classic iconic lab tool, the Skinner box, again, I have a layman's understanding of it and the concepts. I'm not a psychotherapist. It's amazing when you break words what you may be, though. Psycho. You guys are wise guys. You guys are wise guys. Psychotherapy. Psychotherapy. So, remember the Skinner box. In those chambers, people too, not just animals, if we, you know, stay with me, people too could perform actions to receive rewards or punishment. Not sure inside the Skinner box designed for the animal experimentations, but that's an example. Environment will expand upon this. So by carefully watching the outcomes, Skinner revealed how consequences shape our behavior. Operant behavior, operant conditioning. Let's explore some of the cornerstones that Skinner identified. Again, positive reinforcement, rewarding desired behavior to make it more likely. Let's put it in the human equation. You're praising your child for doing whatever. Good job, you did your homework on time, or you did your chores, or just positive reinforcement. Let's use your child as an example. The negative reinforcement meant removing something unpleasant to encourage an ultimate desired behavior. Taking away screen time if the homework isn't done, or, you know, use your own dynamic and demographic and example within your own household where applicable, but they're on their cell phone too much. How's that? Or whatever. But let's use screen time, be that the boob tube or computer and or cell phone, broad-based categorization of screen time, and the homework isn't getting done. Or until it's getting done, then they can have their screen time. So positive negative reinforcement, using a child as an example. Praising them in one case. Okay, you did your chores, great. Now go do your homework, and until you do, you can't call your girlfriend and be on cell phone all night or whatever. So the punishment, strong word, but I mean it is punishment in the clinical application of it. Delivering something unpleasant to discourage the unwanted behavior. So baby, let's say baby, adolescent or something, if they hit you back, not so much, you know, a baby. They're not eating their cereal or whatever. Again, your example. And they actually may strike you, not so much like punch you right in the face, but knock the bowl over or something like that. Let's put it in the baby theory, which Byron also went through. So extinction would be withholding reinforcement for the unwanted behavior, leading to its gradual decrease. Like ignoring the baby's temper tantrum over the cereal, if you will, and letting them kind of sort of come out of it by you sort of ignoring it. Byron will definitely make sense of that. So those are just the building blocks into Skinner's legacy. And again, I threw it out in a first go-round of communication to Byron about what's coming up in episode 7, depending on the direction he goes in with this. You know, I talked about Carl Jung just as an example, arbitrarily, to pick different outlooks within the operant conditioning that we mentioned some in the first half of the show. So understanding B.F. Skinner and our choices, the science of shaping behavior. Skinner taking focus, which was and is observable behavior and its responses and response to their consequences. Theory, operant condition, behavior is controlled by its consequences. Emphasis, external factors shaping behavior through reinforcement and punishment. The view of the individual shaped by the environment and the experiences. So the role of the unconscious not considered relevant. Love to have Byron expand upon that. So kind of phasing out here in the layman's observation of this for today's episode in the prelude. Let's revisit the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that I just said. Focus theory, emphasis, view of the individual and role of unconscious under the guise of B.F. Skinner in the operant conditioning, the theory of. And then just as in this example, my example, how's that? Whether Byron goes to Carl Jung or not, until he gets here to speak for himself and use his own examples. Carl Jung, focus unconscious mind and its impact on personality and behavior, theory for him, analytical psychology. Personality is comprised of conscious and unconscious elements. Emphasis, Carl Jung, internal factors like archetypes and collective unconscious influencing behavior that we mentioned in the earlier part of the show. And the view of individuals, a unique product of conscious and unconscious forces. So the role of the conscious, fundamental to understanding human behavior and motivation. So what will be having Byron expand upon as the expert? Maybe some contrasting points. Free will, Skinner sees little role for free will, while Jung emphasizes inner choice in individuation or individualization. Being an individual, individual choice. Determination, Skinner's perspective leans towards determinism, while Jung embraces both determinism and free will. So the methodology that Skinner relies on objective observation and experimentation, while Jung favors introspection and symbolic interpretation. So the application, if you will, I'm not even sure this is a word, Skinnerian principles, if you will. Skinner's principles, so a Skinnerian, a follower of, that may be my word, are often used in behavior modification therapies, while Jungian, J-U-N-G-I-A-N, called, those that look at it like Carl Jung would, Jungian ideas, influence psychotherapy and self-exploration. So similarities, Byron will clarify this. In my interpretation of, both are interested in understanding human behavior and motivation. Both acknowledge the influence of past experiences on present behavior, and both have had significant impact on various fields, including psychology, education, and therapy. So, closing out here for today, another couple of 5 minutes. Despite their contrasting views, Skinner and Jung contribute valuable perspectives to understanding human complexity. They highlight the interplay between internal and external influences, hopefully reminding us that behavior is not a single-dimensional phenomenon. We talked about that in layman's terms, reality, clinician, professional. It's most assuredly multidimensional. Ultimately, which outlook resonates more, I guess, depends on your individual approach to understanding yourself and the world around you. We as the human populace is citizenry, and then the clinicians observing us along the way, and then themselves, they're human beings too, making their own assessments. Be curious to see Byron's viewpoints on that, himself as a, you know, human being to his comfort zone, and then interloping and interlapping into his profession. So hopefully you guys and gals will perceive this as a fascinating topic for the next time around. and Byron will hone it out. We'll give him some suggested probing questions. He hones them, refines them, shapes them, and I follow accordingly and interject. So Byron Athene, B.F. Skinner revisited in his seventh appearance, building on previous discussions about B.F. Skinner. Again, just to recap where we've come to this point, prelude-wise, expanding our content and engaging probing questions for Byron's seventh appearance on my show, the B.H. Sales Chemical Holistic Healing Hour. The themes here, there, and everywhere, Grace, huh? Beals, goofing around the prelude shows, and when Byron gets here to do so with me, we'll go beyond the basics, moving beyond operant conditioning principles, and maybe delve into Skinner's radical behaviorism philosophy and its implications for understanding human behavior, again from the clinician in his own studies of B.F. Skinner and the operant conditioning. So applications, exploring how Skinnerian principles are applied in various contexts. We showed like examples of the dog training, therapy, education, or whatever. You can actually apply it in business and in life too, as well. Obviously on the human side. And we'll have Byron maybe expand upon examples he's seen within his own career. And then, of course, with all ethical considerations to do so, always, it's professional. You can't say, hey, Mrs. Jones, when she came over at 3 o'clock yesterday. It's not that type of thing. But examine ethical concerns surrounding reinforcement-based techniques, potential manipulation, and individual agency. Byron's the clinician. I don't know that within the industry. He does in the profession. So we'll discuss responsible application and maybe potential unintended consequences as Byron has experienced it in a 30-year career. So comparison with other psychologists of his choice, of course, if he cares to do so, Byron, contrasting Skinner's views with those of whomever, Freud, Jung, Abraham Maslow, whatever he wants to use as an example. Hopefully to spark a deeper understanding of the deeper perspectives on human motivation and behavior. So you guys and gals, help a guy out. Interact at the message board. I'll frame a couple of questions in the description of this prelude show. And then when Byron gets here on the 29th, if you happen to hear these prelude shows in the interim and you do interchange with the boards or want a specific question, please do that. I'll field those, of course, and we'll have Byron answer any specific direct listener questions, of course. And these are things that we're aspiring to, and as Byron comes again moving forward, as many times as I'm graced to have him as a guest, 8, 9, 10, so on and so forth, he has an open door to come back and use this platform. It accentuates what we're both trying to do. I'm trying to give back in retirement using this platform as a vehicle to welcome such provocative and interesting guests as Byron. So here's what I've got. These are just bullet points. These aren't specific questions, but they may jog your own memory or something that, you know, you may be seeking for an answer. So here's what I got for Byron, where he goes with them, and we'll close out for today. What are some criticisms of Skinner's operant conditioning model, and how do you respond to them? Is one idea for Byron to possibly talk about. Can Skinnerian principles be applied effectively in promoting mental health and emotional well-being? Are there ethical boundaries, again, I'm not a clinician, he is, to consider when using reinforcement-based techniques, particularly in areas like parenting, or if it's in a business application, marketing, or if it's with your dog in dog training. You know, the technique applied to here, humans, he's a psychotherapist, but I'm sure he has a slant on how it may be able to be applied in the other categories. Again, they're just bullet points to frame the flow of the conversation. A couple more. How can we integrate Skinner's insights with other psychological perspectives to create a holistic understanding of human behavior? And I guess for this go around, what resources would you recommend for our listeners who want to learn more about behaviorism and its applications? So I'm trying to presuppose, this is all fun and fodder, by the way. Take no offense when I say this, I goof around. So I'm trying to presuppose myself as you guys, framing a question. I mean, these are my questions as well, but trying to, well, geez, I wonder if that's a good question for our audience's appreciation. Let me know that. Let me know your own. What are you guys and gals perplexed at in this very perplexing world? There's reason to be perplexed, but not overdrawn, overdraught, overstraught, anxiety, all the things we'll talk about. And Byron's great, great tour guide in and of these interviews. He proved that on the last one, and we both chuckled. So I'm inviting all listeners to share their own experiences with behaviorism or challenges that they may face. I am promoting it on social media. I have promoted it, and I'll continue to do that. And we're encouraging these pre-submitted questions on all my shows as the particular guests come on board. In this case, Byron Athene. Okay, B.F. Skinner, Byron Athene, behaviorism, a little bit about dog training as an example here. Mental health podcast, B.H. Sales, Kennel Cult, Holistic Healing Hour, Ask Byron. We'll go into the ethical part, to his comfort zone, however he frames these questions. Again, that are suggestions. Intriguing B.F. Skinner, Beyond Rewards and Punishments with Byron Athene in the seventh appearance. Decoding both human and obviously human-centric. He's a psychotherapist. So human-centric, and wherever he does or doesn't go with my examples in other categories, marketing, dog behavior, what have you. So on the human choices with Byron Athene, and then if he sidebars on his interjections from personal observations or what have you, bonus, unleashing the secrets of behavior. Join Byron Athene and Grandpa Bill on the BH Sales Kennel Cult Holistic Healing Hour. Here's a couple of interactive poll questions to get the old proverbial ball rolling. Nurture and versus nature. Nature versus nurture. Again, Byron shedding some light on this. In your experience, meaning his, do you think behavior is shaped more by genetics and personality, nature, if you will, or by experiences in learning, nurture, or the human equation, the combination of the two? And then our Skinnerian success stories to Byron. Have you ever successfully applied Skinnerian principles, positive reinforcement, etc.? If he has a pet, to train his own pet. Again, examples within the practice, within the guise of his professional patient, client, you know, just broad-based examples if he's comfortable in doing so. Within the practice, without the practice, his observations of Skinner overall, however he cares to frame it. He's my guest. So I might here ask listeners to, again, share a specific behavioral change or challenge that you're facing with whatever, your dog or yourself, preferably yourself under the human guise thing. But the principle is applicable, and what Skinnerian approach they might try based on the episode's insights when Byron gets here to have insights on. And then this could spark further discussion and provide real-life examples moving forward in the subsequent episodes as well. So we're trying to promote these poll questions as clearly as I'm capable of doing during the episode to encourage listener participation and those voicemail recordings. Beyond Rewards and Punishment, Unlocking Human Behavior with Byron Athene. Habit Hacker, Motivation Matters. Be sure to join us each and every day. We'll see Byron on the rarity at Leap Year is, of course, or Leap Year Day at time of recording. Join us at that time. We'll say bye-bye for now. And may God bless. Continue paying it forward. Have a safe and productive day. Peace, everybody.